Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast with Nicolene Peck. Improving your life, uniting your family, changing the world.
Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast. I'm Nicolene Peck and I'm joined here with my daughter, Paige Baumer. Hi, Paige.
Hello, hello.
Paige, today we are talking about strong-willed children, and this is something I know a bit about, mostly because I raised you, if I'm going to be completely honest.
It wasn't just me, but
that's true. That's true. It wasn't just you. It was all of them. So I'm strong-willed. My husband is strong-willed. That means we used to clash heads. Used to. Yeah, we don't clash heads, or we don't clash anymore, but we do still banter a little, kind of for fun. And we've had to learn how to handle each other's strong-willed nature. We're both going to be very motivated and do lots of great things, but we also can be maybe a little bit, I guess, controlling of each other. So we have to be careful about that. Anyway, and Paige, you're super strong-willed. Your siblings were all strong-willed. It looked a little bit different for all of you, but my foster children, the majority of them were very strong-willed as well. So a lot of experience with strong-willed children. And, you know, sometimes the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So as I'm looking at little Grayson, I'm thinking strong-willed, kind of strong-willed.
What? Two-year-old son? No.
Yeah. I mean, two-year-olds might just naturally be strong-willed, right? And Clara and Arbor, if she is strong-willed, it's in her own way, I would say.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, it's very different from the others if she is. But we're going to talk today about strong-willed children. We're going to talk about how to parent a strong-willed child and what a strong-willed child actually even looks like to make sure we've got that down. So if you're trying to figure out if you might have one at your house, we'll help you. But before we do that, Paige, as is tradition here on the Teaching Self-Government Podcast, we've got to have some sort of fun family activity. We love giving people suggestions for fun family activities because families really should do more with each other, especially in this technological age that we're in. If there's some hands-on activities, we can do all the better. So what do you have for us today?
So today, since we try to teach people cause and effect all the time, we thought it would be fun to set up a domino run. So, you know, a lot of people know it as the domino effect or whatever, but it's when you stand all the dominoes in a line up on their end, and then you make a whole big thing, and then you push the first one down, and they all go tumbling down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people do this on a huge scale with different colors, and but, you know, it doesn't have to be big. Just find a set of dominoes from the thrift store if you don't have any or whatever it is, but find a way, or even Jenga blocks. You could do it with Jenga blocks, too.
That's true. Yeah, they have to all be pretty much the same size. Or the same, you know, dimensions. So that's a good point. Yeah, I would say we got into that a little bit when you guys were young. So we have a set of dominoes that goes up. It's like sixes. It's like the old basic set goes up from zeros to six. And then we got another set that goes from 0 to 9. And then we really got into dominoes and we got the set that goes from 0 to 15, which means you end up with like 15 times 16 little sides on blocks and whatever. It's
a
lot.
Whole lot of dominoes.
It's a lot of dominoes. But I tell you, if you're going to do a domino run, it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. See how creative you can get. Obviously, you can look up different ideas on YouTube or whatever where people have done domino runs. But I love that you're thinking this teaches cause and effect because it absolutely does. And if you accidentally hit one of those things and you don't have it done yet, it's like, oh,
right towards the end of the project. You're like, no.
Yeah, we didn't have the camera out to film it, you know, or whatever. But it is a lot of fun. All right, Paige. So let's talk about self-government. What is self-government? Let's start there because we're going to look through the lens of the principle self-government today. As we do every time at the Teaching Self-Government Podcast. How about you explain that to us and maybe how you've seen self-government work in your life and then we'll get into this strong-willed. I think it's important for people to understand, you know, you as a strong-willed person because you are, what self-government actually means to you, because we're going to be going back to self-government, obviously, as we discuss strong-willed children here.
Right. So self-government is being able to determine the cause and effect of any given situation and possessing a knowledge of your own behaviors so that you can control them.
True. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, what that means is that you're planning ahead. You're making a plan, you're following through with your plan, and then when you go off course, you get yourself back on track. So, you're
As consistently as possible. Yeah.
constantly self-analyzing. So, Paige, how has this process of making a plan and analyzing helped you, especially as a live in the moment person?
Yes, I do live in the moment quite a bit. But it's helped me because there are times where, maybe my tone of voice or something is not quite where it should be, or some of my actions as, a person or a parent. I'll do something and go, ooh, I probably could have done that a little bit better. Or, you know what, I actually need to think through this next time so that I'm not just like throwing stuff together for lunch and hoping my children eat what I give them, or, whatever it is. It's been really awesome to help me think, okay, well, this time it didn't work out so good. Tomorrow, I'm gonna go through the same situation again, or same thing. How can I plan better for it, right? So that's been really helpful for me, and overcoming my own, I guess, lack of foresight, because there was a point in my life where I really did not have much. I was
No,
very much live in the moment.
I mean, I think there's some people that are more impulsive than others, right? And self-government really helps. But let's talk about if you're impulsive or live in the moment and strong-willed and a little bit high-strung or emotional. Well, then you have the recipe of Paige and what she was, especially as a young person, right? So you've come a really, really long way. But when you were young, it was like, I'm frustrated and it was gonna blow up if you didn't have something to do, something to hold on to. And I have to say, I say that very liberally because in comparison to a lot of strong-willed people and that might like have a little bit of impulsivity when they were young, really, you weren't like the worst case in any way because you'd been raised on how to self-govern yourself and learning skills of self-government and how to communicate. And so you would pull yourself back to it, or we would point you back toward it again and again when there was a problem. So it's not like there really was huge problems. It wasn't like you were flying off the handle on a regular basis. But if you didn't have self-government, what do you think your strong-willed, slightly impulsive, live in the moment life would have been like?
I've caught glimpses of it just recently as I've been going through this pregnancy, and hormones have kind of shifted how I'm responding and reacting to things. And I'm realizing I would be a very angry person, and I would be a very loud, in your face type of person, and it would not be very pretty. I would not be someone that people would like to spend time with on a regular basis. And I have met people like that where it's like, okay, small doses, far between. I will interact with you if I need to.
Right.
Right.
So
And
what you're
so,
saying
because
is,
I do get
yeah.
caught up in a lot of emotional things. And so I've had to really check myself recently over the last few months, just because I have seen what I could have become and
More of those emotions
what I
bubbling
still could
up.
become if I don't check myself.
Yeah. No, and I think almost every woman could probably identify with that. Like, yeah, pregnancy, that's when sort of everything gets just a little bit more intense feeling somehow, because those hormones and what they do to you and the emotions are just more at the surface there. And so they can get the
Well,
better of
and
you.
not to say that it's an excuse.
Right.
It's more to say, oh, I'm actually getting a glimpse of what type of person I could have been, unless instead of just conjecturing, like, well, if I didn't have self-government, I probably might have ended up like this. It's like, no, I've seen how it could be. So I'm
The
not supposed
beast I would ha I'm having to control
to.
him. You're like, I'm using my self-government, giving self no answer, no answer. Drop the subject. We're not doing. Yeah, exactly. Create boundary for self. Yeah, exactly. Oh, thanks for sharing that. I know that's a pretty vulnerable thing to share, but I think everyone would probably be pretty happy to hear that they're not alone in taming the beast within. And really that's what self-government means, is that we're taming that beast within. So let's take this conversation about self-government and let's turn it towards strong-willed. If there's one thing that parents will say to me when they're, talking to me, I might be at a conference speaking or something, and they'll come up to my booth and they'll talk to me and they'll say, this sounds really great, but my child is strong-willed. I mean, will it work with a strong-willed child? And I'm like, actually, that's
Yes.
the ideal person for this. I think they think, oh, if my child isn't just going to be passively, willingly, following instructions, it's
No,
just
no.
not going to work. No. You want to, if you're going to teach someone how to self-govern, you want them to be successful. And one of the things that helps them become successful is their ability to will themselves to make a change.
Well, if you think about it, all the people that we look up to, whether in the past, maybe it's scriptural heroes or founding fathers of our country, or whatever it is, all these people, they had a drive. And sometimes you hear about their childhood stories and how they got into heaps of trouble because they were still learning how to keep it together, to harness it, right? But all these people, they start off as Spitfires and whatever, but as they got older, they realized, you know what? The ability to control myself, I'll do that. And I know someone you like to bring up a lot is Benjamin Franklin, because he gave himself a list of, I think it was 13 things that he wanted to master, and he didn't move on to the next one until he was satisfied with his mastery of the previous one. And that is like true self, like strong
Well,
will. And
even just
self-governance.
to evaluate yourself, even just to
Yeah.
say, these are my problems that I had. And I actually, you need to know, I found out a different version of that story. So the first version that I heard was that he went one by one through the list, but then another version of the story that I heard was that he would look at them one by one each day, and he would evaluate how he did each day on those. I'm not exactly sure what one is completely accurate because I wasn't there
Either way,
then.
they're both great at
Yeah,
helping you
exactly.
self-govern.
Exactly. But I'm so glad that you bring up that story. That is a really, really good story to remember. And I think that we see, honestly, with a lot, like you said, of those people that we look up to, they had to rein themselves in at one point. They were the loud mouths and then said, nope, I'm going to pull back. I love George Washington's rules of civility, where you see him self-governing himself, reining it in more. Don't speak unless, you've decided it answers these questions. Don't stay too long somewhere. Don't whatever. I mean, he's giving himself all of these rules to live by so that he can be very, very civilized. And the fact that he went through that process is pretty amazing. In fact, those what we call the founding fathers in America, they actually believed that this process of refining yourself and, using that strong will to tame yourself was actually what was called for them the pursuit of happiness. So that's actually what they referred to in our founding documents, like the Declaration of Independence in the United States of America, says that it was created to preserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So their idea was that if you weren't able to control yourself, then you weren't going to be happy. And the strong-willed person who can't control themselves is not happy.
Right, who goes with just every whim that they
They
have.
are they're a slave. They are a
Yeah.
slave
It
to that.
reminds me of the story of Ben Carson. How he started off his, with him and his brother, and he and they both lived with their mom. And their mom was basically illiterate, had no schooling, couldn't read, anything like that. She cleaned homes for a living. But she made sure that they were still respectful. She made sure that their behaviors were in line with what she wanted her family culture to be, and she pushed them. She said, no, you got this. You've got the will to make it happen. Make it happen. even
Yeah.
though, you know, she herself had a whole lot of different struggles that she was going through. And you know, you read the story of how he grew up and the different things he went through in school. And as a youth, he had anger issues, a lot of anger issues. And then he grows up to be this calm, collected man, a surgeon, you know, and he has all these degrees and accolades and you know, running for president at one point of the United States. And it's really, really cool to see just how far someone can come as they embrace their own power and learn how to bridle it in, you know, where it needs to be. And that's what I tell whenever I hear parents in like group mentoring sessions that I do or anything like that, they say, "Oh, I have a strong-willed child. They're my hardest one." I "Yay!" And they say, "Let me tell you why." I say, "Yay!" And I think this is something I heard from you in one of your presentations, but strong-willed children are such a blessing because once you train them up in the way that they should go, they will be hard-pressed to leave it.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and this is because the strong-willed child is actually looking for something. They want the truth. They are, once they find it, they will hold on to it. And if they don't have it, they try to make stuff up as the truth because they like to be right. They want to have the truth. They want to know that they're going in the right direction to make have the best outcomes, to be the most successful. You know, whatever it is. And so when they find a truth, they're going to die on that wall. And if they don't have a truth, when they make up a truth, they're going to die on that wall because they got to have something, you know, they have
And
to
the
have
parents go,
something.
"Oh my goodness."
Yeah. And so this is why the strong-willed child needs to know why a lot. In fact, they're the kind that's going to ask why. They're going to talk back to you. They're going to be, I guess, sassy, some people might say. They're oftentimes very, very smart. They can see the bigger picture of things and they want to know why that, but why that? And they have all these questions. They want those questions answered. And I think a lot of times parents get frustrated with a strong-willed child and they're just like, I am so done talking about, you know, whatever it is, this, that, and the other, and answering all these questions. I remember
We're
I
fully
told
like,
myself
yes.
when Quinn was little, I told myself, okay, he was at the like age 4. It was like every question under the sun. Why is the sky blue? Why do cars drive? Why, you know, it's like just everything. And I remember telling myself, he actually needs the answer to these questions. He is smart enough that if he doesn't get the answer to these questions, he's just going to stop asking questions and just get very bored with life and he'll start acting out. And I know
He'll
it.
start
And
looking for and from other sources.
right, exactly. And so actually, I remember driving down the road and he'd say, why, you know, why does that person not have a shirt on? Why is whatever? And I'd be like, well, it's really hot today. And some people, you know, and these types of questions, and I would try to answer every single thing I could. And that really, for him, just led to this craving to find the answers. If the strong-willed person can't find the answers, they start assuming things and making up the answers. And this is actually when it gets really troublesome. Now, the whole will, okay, let's talk a little bit about the will of the person. So the will of the person is actually the strongest part of that person, okay? So there's the body voice, there's the brain voice, which C.S. Lewis calls the puppet, and then there's the chest voice, heart voice, spirit voice, whatever you want to say, but that's the will of the person. And when that will is leading out and it's oriented in a good direction, that there is just nothing stopping the good that that person can do. And they can control everything else. They can control the bad thoughts. They can decide what's the right information, what's not the right information. They can control their body. They can say, we're gonna wake up in the morning, we're gonna not eat, you know, sugar all day, we're gonna whatever. They can control themselves. It's actually phenomenal what they can do if they are taught how to train that heart. And so there
And
is a
that's the
process.
hard part.
Yeah. So there is a process of training that that will, that heart, that muscle, because the will can be corrupted. And then you're pointing toward the bad and the non-productive and the selfish and the me, 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 me. And a person's will can be oriented toward me, 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 me. We call those people narcissists usually, you know. And then there's the people who can, they'll go and they'll serve people and they'll sacrifice and they'll do great things because their will is pointed toward goodness. They found the truth and they're willing to do whatever it takes, whatever sacrifice is required. So those strong-willed people, they're the ones that win wars. They're the ones that lead everyone. They are the ones that
Making
really truly
inventions.
inspire. Yeah. So don't be feeling bad, you know, if you've got a strong-willed child.
You are so, if you've got a strong little child, you are so blessed to be raising a leader of the future.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I gave my parents all their gray hairs, because you know my mom went gray pretty early, my dad not too far after her, and I know that I was rough to handle because my strong will, and I did not learn how to govern myself. I started learning this when I was 14, so I was rough. I found a truth when I was 14. I wasn't getting along with my parents, and my neighbor gave me this challenge. And the challenge was, hey, how about you see if you can get more things you want if every time your parents tell you to do something or not to do something, you say okay and be okay. And I didn't believe it was true, and I went home to prove them wrong because, you know, my strong will. And then all of a sudden, I started getting what I wanted, and my relationship changed, and they trusted me, and I could feel it. And oh, I learned that there really was this relationship bank account that you have to make deposits into, not just withdrawals all the time. And things changed. It was incredible what changed. And at that moment, my strong will was altered and oriented toward what is true instead of what I feel like and what I want, which that shifted. And here's the big moment. So I told my mom, I said, okay, that I would clean my room. And my room was a wreck regularly, clothes everywhere. And she, you know, kind of was watching in disbelief as I was following her instruction to clean this room. And then this voice came to me. And this voice said, I am so powerful. And I was like, yeah. I am so powerful, which was probably, I don't know if that's how I was supposed to take the voice, but the message that I learned there was, wait, I chose to be okay. I chose to follow instruction. I chose to say okay and be okay. I chose to be happy. I am so powerful because I can choose to be happy. Happiness isn't something that happens to me. I picked it and I found that right there in that moment. And I was like, there's no going back from this. And so then guess what? Every time my parents from then on out told me to do something or not to do something, well, maybe I shouldn't say every time. I wasn't perfect, but like most
More
times,
often
okay?
than not.
Right. I would just say, okay. And I would be like, yes, I'm powerful. I'm going to be getting anything I want
Because I'm
soon.
cool.
Yeah, I got this. I am in control. I am in control because I'm in control of myself. And that's when I learned it when I was 14 years old, and it changed everything for me. So, anyway, what are some things that a strong-willed child looks like, Paige? I mean, I think we've covered quite a few, but anything else that sticks out to you that a strong-willed child often does? I mean, sometimes they fight, right? They yell.
I mean, just from what I've experienced as a parent, talking back, and instead of saying okay to an instruction right away, and be like, "Why, mom?" Or, "Well, what about this, mom? Let's just do it this way," because they're
Or say
thinking outside the
nothing,
box.
actually, saying nothing. A
I ran
strong-willed
across that
child
one
might
too.
actually go do it, but say nothing. Or they'll say okay and then not actually do it, right? They're missing some of those. Yeah.
So, and I've experienced all of those with my oldest.
And she's only four, bless her heart.
Well, if she heard that, she would say 4.5, Nini, four and a
That's true.
half.
Four and a half. She's gonna be five before we know it.
I know,
Before we know it,
but
but not before you get baby number four here, and you're
I
gonna
know.
have four, ages four and under. So you're gonna have
I
quite the
know.
busy house going on.
I'm just a special breed of crazy, and it's amazing. We love
Well,
it.
not everyone gets twins, so there you have
No,
it.
I know.
All right, so
Anyway, but
let's.
so the strong will, a lot of people think that it comes from a defiance, a defiance to obedience or something like that. But it can also be determination, right? Where it's like, hey, I really want to do this thing. Mom, help me do this thing. Or I'm just going to do it no matter what. And that is strong will, right? And because a lot of people, when they hear strong will, they think, oh my gosh, yes, defiance, disobedience, stuff like that. But
Everything has to be their idea.
yeah,
Every
which
time.
sometimes it does, but
Yeah.
you're like,
This is
let's just
true.
prompt that.
So let's talk about dealing with these type of children. Let's talk about how to train them, how to train their
Yeah.
little hearts. I think we better start with the last one that I just said, just so that I don't forget. The one where everything has to be their idea. The way that we talk to that person is a little bit different, right? So this doesn't mean that we let them have everything their idea, but we make sure that they know, listen, we're not forcing you, right? You get to choose. You always get to choose. Here's how we're laying out the structure. Here's the cause and effect of the structure, meaning here's the consequences. Here's what you can do. These things will lead to freedom, you know? And then, like me, when I was 14, they go, oh, I'm choosing to actually get things more my way. They might have to test it out a little bit, right? And kind of not do the right thing sometimes and then go, actually, maybe I should try it the other way. And you might want to say to them, it didn't work when you tried to push against everyone and dominate everyone. That didn't turn out for you. Maybe you should try a different strategy. It could be that, you know, saying okay and being okay could work. When my neighbor challenged me, she said, have you ever thought of just saying okay and being okay? You know, actually, she really just said, have you ever thought of just saying okay? And then she went
Like,
on later. And yeah, and I said, that would never work. She's like,
huh.
well, how about
Just try
this?
it.
You go try it. Yeah, you go try it. So with those ones that think everything has to be their idea, just throw out a question, challenge it. And then let them put it to the test. Okay, so with strong-willed children, I have a history of working with them. You have a history of being one. You've got one yourself too. Actually, at least
Yes.
two out of the three, almost four children that you have. And so one big thing, Paige, is setting limits. You know, you got to have the boundaries. I mean, there's got to be you've got to have seen with your toddlers that are so strong-willed. If you don't have the boundaries, what happens?
I just get overrun. I mean, one recent example is screen time. And me being in third trimester, I've become a little more lax with my screen time and stuff like that, But the last couple weeks, I've realized I'm like, we got to be low tolerances on this one. So anytime Clara asks for, her little exercise videos, or hey, can we watch a movie, or hey, can I watch videos with you? The answer is always no. No, you cannot. We have our family movie night once a week. We are watching one movie. That's it. And I tell her, it's because every time you have a screen in front of your face, whenever it's taken away or we say it's done, you get so whiny so fast. And we don't talk that way. And
Because she's
so, but it was,
entitled
I
with
know, but
stimulation.
what was really cool is our last family movie night last week. We had our movie on, and of course, since they only get a movie once a week, they're glued, right? Once the show is on, I know they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, right. True.
I can leave them in the other room. I'll come back. They haven't moved. The movie came to an end, and I came in and I said, "Oh, looks like the movie's over. It's time to turn the TV off." And so I turned it off, and Clara just went, "Okay,"
Because she
and she
knew
was.
that's my boundary.
Yeah, and so I was able to set that limit, even though it would be easy for me to just turn on a movie and be able to, go and waddle my way to the kitchen and do some dishes or something, because moving around is more difficult currently. It would be easier for me, right? But as a self-governed, strong-willed parent, I have to say, no, what is best for my child? And what can I do about it? What mentality can I sacrifice to make life more meaningful for my family? Right. So, and that's another thing, when you're strong-willed, you choose to sacrifice for the greater good or for the good of the people and the things that you are in charge of, that you have stewardship over. And so I was able to see the benefit of that. And now it's a whole lot easier for me to keep saying nope every time my daughter asks, right? Or anytime my twins in their 2-year-old language, they go, Moomy, Moomy? I'm like, no, we're not having a movie.
I love that. Well, so see, just on that one thing, setting a limit matters. And the strong-willed person, they act like they want to control everything. They act like they want to fight everything. But at the end of the day, they actually thrive better with the boundaries and the limits too. So we have to be able to have enough strength to give them no answers, which means that at first they may push back, which means we're probably going to have to do some corrections and that kind of
Well,
stuff.
that's the part that most people are afraid of. And I've talking to people that I mentor and stuff, they're like, okay, I know they're gonna give me pushback. I'm like, but you don't have to worry about that. You're learning about skills and things that you have sometimes literally in your back pocket with the cue cards that we have, right?
Right. Well, I'm right here, but
Where
I was, yeah.
who cares what they throw at you? You've got the skills you need, which means you don't have to be afraid of their reaction. You're ready, you're confident. It might not be the most fun interaction you ever had with your child or with your spouse or with whoever, but if you have the skills, you have no reason to not have boundaries that will be helpful and healthy for your family.
Well, without skills, the people without actually without the boundaries, the people truly just struggle. Everyone goes into dysfunction. The roles get all upset. Everything gets backward. And so it is important that we have those. So with teaching self-government, we teach what are called the four basic skills. And I keep looking over here. I used to have all my whole stack of books right here, and I think they're back there
Well, you just
on
did
the
a training,
shelf.
which I'm sure you had them for, so.
Yeah, they were all just right here, and I keep going, oh, they're not here. But anyway, so there's four children's books that actually teach the four basic skills. I mean, if your child's like 12 and up, then probably they wouldn't need these books, but they teach the skills following instructions, accepting no answers and criticism, accepting consequences, and disagreeing appropriately. If your child is 12 and up, then you can just get the parent books and the courses and stuff, and you can just teach them the skills without the books. But
And do it with them,
the children's books are so nice because they just reinforce with the children again and again what those skills are and what they need to be remembering in the moment. So we're not going to go into teaching everyone the four basic skills in this class because that would take a lot of time, but let's
I'm sure you have a
specifically.
YouTube video all about it.
Yeah, but let's just kind of conceptually talk about these. So we've got following instructions. This is the basic one, right? And this is a person cannot actually be self-governed if they can't follow instructions, because ultimately, a self-governed person has to be able to give themselves an instruction and follow through. Now, a self-governed person, if they tell themselves to do something, they should be able to follow through. So it's really, really great practice for that will to always be able, also be able to follow an instruction from someone else, right? This is now we're for them, it's branching out like, okay, well, the follow what I want or what I think I'm going to do, that one's easy. Following what somebody else needs to do, that's hard. For other people, it's following somebody else, what they say and their expectation or their instruction is easy. Motivating themselves and giving themselves an instruction and following through, that's hard. Right. So that's one of the ways that you know the difference between a strong-willed person and not a strong-willed person. So, but either way, they need both. So they need to have that skill of following instructions. There's five steps to that skill. And it really hinges on calmness. And then there's a reporting system built into it. So you report back when you're done with whatever the instruction was. And really, it's more about the process than it is about whatever instruction that you're actually being asked to follow, which is huge. And then the second of the four basic skills is the accepting no answers and criticism skill. Strong-willed people sometimes don't like getting feedback. They sometimes
Or
don't want to
feedback that
hear.
goes against their desires slash
Yeah,
expectations.
sometimes they don't want to hear criticism. Sometimes they don't want to hear no. So that's rough. So there's four steps to accepting a no answer. And Those four steps also hinge on calmness. The last step, which is the drop the subject step, that one is really hard for people sometimes that are strong-willed because they want to keep asserting again and again
Or
what
to
they
have the
felt,
last
what they
word,
wanted.
or
Yep, they want to have the
yeah.
last word. Exactly right. Exactly. So that's huge. And then there's disagreeing appropriately. So this one, usually a strong-willed person loves disagree appropriately as soon as they understand how useful it is for them to get what they want, right? But at
My
first, they
daughter
may
is a
not want to
prime
process.
example.
She's like,
Pretty
every
much
time you tell her
everything.
something, yeah, may I disagree appropriately? May I disagree
Am I called a
appropriately?
liar? Yes, you may. Deep breath,
Yeah,
Paige. Deep breath.
that's right. Then you have to accept the no answer that you don't get a control when she uses that skill. She
Yeah.
is anyway, but it's
Struggle bus.
beautiful. Is she's doing that instead of whining though? That's huge. That's why it's the gateway
For the
skill
most
to
part. Sometimes
self-government.
she
Yeah.
needs a reminder, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you can correct her when she whines, which you do, which is not
I
a
do.
problem, right? Because it's not keeping a calm face, voice, and body. So that's good. And then, of course, there's accepting consequences where a person needs to be able to accept the feedback, whether it's praise, whether it's corrections. They need to be able to accept the feedback from whatever their actions were if they're fully going to be self-governed, if they're going to take full responsibility for themselves. And a strong-willed person, if they really have bought into the truth and they have a little dose of humility, should be able to admit, oh, I think I did that wrong. Once they understand the truths and the principles that they're living and that they need to follow that will lead them to this powerful thing called self-government, then they're usually willing to self-analyze. They just have to know where they're headed. They've got to have a plan. They've got to have a direction. So often with parents, we don't give the children direction. And then when they do something that goes against one of these four basic skills, maybe we never taught them the skill in the first place, but if it goes against them, then parents will start to emotionally react instead of do
Because
teaching.
they had expectations of how it was going to go, but they didn't share those expectations or have a backup plan for when those expectations weren't met.
Well, and maybe we should use another word for expectations. Maybe we should say pre-teaching. They didn't actually
Well, yeah.
pre-teach. Yeah. So they had in their heart or in their mind, like, this has to play out this way, right? And then
But this is
when it
what I'm
doesn't,
expecting. Yeah.
then when it doesn't, they're like, oh, and then they get emotional, so they get in that expectation trap. You're
Yeah.
totally right. Which I talk about in my book, The Power of Calm. But the pre-teaching though is a huge thing, Paige. The pre-teaching, in fact, this one makes a big difference for those strong-willed kiddos because this is when you're telling them ahead of time what to expect going forward. This means that they have a better chance of using that will to actually control themselves instead of just stumbling through. So if you give them a lay of the land, you give them the why and the what and when to do it and all that kind of stuff, then they're going to be more successful because remember, they're looking for that truth. So let's talk about corrections because we do need to sometimes correct the strong-willed behavior that runs
Not
amok.
sometimes. It happens a lot.
Okay, so let's get to that. What do you mean, not sometimes? How should we correct then?
I know that correction was a normal thing when I was growing up because, I know around between the ages of like 7 and 9, I had no filter. I said everything that came into my head. And so I remember there were many times where you pulled me aside and like, hey, you just said this. Do you realize that when you say something like this, it can be interpreted this way and people might think things like this about you? And I'm like, oh, nope, didn't even cross my mind.
That's called social training, Paige. I was doing deliberate
Yes.
social training. A lot of parents think that that's rude or that's, oh, you're teaching your child to care what people think about them. Well, if
It's
they're ever
important
going to
to understand
succeed
what could be
socially,
thought.
no, just follow me out here. If they're ever going to succeed socially, they have to care about what other people are processing their behavior like. They have to. That's what it means to socially succeed, is that
Yeah.
you understand how other people work and your communication can work with their communication, which means that you can feed the right messages to each other and accomplish things. So we have led our society to social wildness because parents aren't willing to have those conversations.
But I do remember there was another time we were doing a actually a 3-day parenting mastery training, but we were in one of the resort ones where we went to Mexico and
Fun,
stayed
that
at a
was fun.
resort. But there was one night where I was just not having it. I was probably what, mid-teens, and I was fed up with something that you and Dad had said or done or not done. I can't remember. But what I do remember is I was upset and I earned an extra chore. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And so then you started the rule of three. I'm like, oh, I haven't done this in a hot minute.
I remember doing that there. I remember
And we
being
were
in
with
your room.
friends. We had friends who were part of this training with us. And you had me step out in the hall. And we went and found us a seat, and I didn't go end up going all the way through, but I was mad, and I was just about something I don't even remember,
I don't either.
but I
It's
I
probably going
chose,
swimming or something. I don't know. Something
but
super
I mean I
important.
chose to get calm. But even when I was a teenager and we were at a resort, and when my behaviors were not appropriate for the social setting, and I mean, even if there were no friends there, it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to act the way I did anyway. But you were still there, present as a mother, understanding your role and saying, friends, give me just a minute, we're gonna go out here, I'm gonna finish something up. And you did that correction and you helped me get calm. And I know for me, it took me a minute inside to truly get calm because I had to eat a big slice of humble pie.
I appreciate that
And
memory.
that can
And
be really hard.
because then you have to face the truth of, uh-oh, I probably
And
didn't
for
do
strong
that
willed people,
right.
it can be very hard to eat
That,
that humble pie and to
yes.
truly say, I'm going to get calm, even when I feel like they need to see my emotion and see that I am upset.
Well, instead we could just talk about it, but you were trying to show something instead. But what you're saying is that that correction needs to happen si consistently on a trip, at a resort, doesn't matter. By the way, a little FYI, probably the reason that you were so huffy is because you guys had had the run of the resort. It was like run here to get food. Run, it was an
It was
all-inclusive, right? It
fantastic.
was like everything everywhere. And then I probably was telling you, okay, no answer on something. And you'd been entitled for 3 days. And you're like, what? What do you mean, no answer? Like, I get to do whatever I want. I'm on a trip. Anyway, and so that was, I do remember the moment, but I don't remember what it was too. I appreciate that memory. Anyway, yeah, getting the person to take that correction. But that means you have to teach them ahead of time how you were going to do the correction. So you knew that I would do a correction. You knew that if you didn't accept the correction, and that if you still were going out of control, then I would point you toward calmness by doing something called the rule of three. You knew that I would do all those things with you. And all those things are things that we teach people so that they have a plan, they have something to, back them up when they're having those parenting interactions with people. Anyway, I just see right now, Paige, that you are just like, okay, Clara probably needs to have a little correction here soon. She's coming in. And we are about ready to wrap it up. But I just wanted to thank you, Paige, for sharing some of the stories today and some of your insights as a strong-willed person and having gone through teaching self-government for everybody and obviously for your children. Thank them for their patience. I'll have to tell them Grandma says thank you for their patience. I'm sure you'll be going off to talk to them about whatever it is. But if anyone would like to find out more information about teaching self-government, about learning these skills, about how to correct the behaviors, I mean, we have just barely scratched the surface here. There's a lot more, and you can go to teachingselfgovernment.com to find out more information there. So go to teachingselfgovernment.com. We'll see you there. Bye.
You've been listening to the Teaching Self-Government podcast. For more information and resources to help unite your family, visit teachingselfgovernment.com.